You're listening to The Point.
Brian Engels is a writer and musician from Falmouth. His first novel, Wild Ball, was published this spring. Brian Engels, welcome back to the program. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Mindy. Thank you for having me back.
So how long have you been writing, and what were some of the early influences on your writing?
I've been writing for a long time. When I was a kid, I was actually kind of obsessive about notebooks. I had my own weekly top 40 countdown, similar to Casey Kasem's, but mine was broadcast to no one. And it was made up of whatever songs I had on compact disc, you know, and I would do my little broadcast with my notebook and my CD player. So, and I wrote stories too, starting in Morris Pond, that's fifth, sixth grade school around Falmouth. So it was always a thing when I was a kid. And I think an early influence was actually a J.J. Abrams show called Alias, starring Jennifer Garner. Mm-hmm. She was a spy, and she was a double agent, and she went on all these missions around the world. And that's actually what I started writing, is I started writing these espionage stories that were very clearly just ripoffs of that. So thank you, Jennifer and J.J., yes.
Right, so how much creative writing were you encouraged to do or able to do when you were in middle school and high school?
I started taking creative writing classes with Micaiah Galt, who is a writer that grew up here and is now based in Vermont. And she started teaching those classes at the Falmouth Public Library, and then I think she started teaching them in Woods Hole.
So it was out of school.
Yeah, yeah. That was out of school. And then within school, it was more in high school for me. My English teacher, Joanne Holcomb, every quarter, I think she would have us do this thing called a writing celebration, where we got to write pretty much a personal narrative, you know, a couple pages of an experience we had gone through, and we all got to share those as a class. And that was really what started fostering that for me, that I enjoyed sharing parts of my life with my peers, and that to do it in that form of writing was something I wanted to do.
And did you pursue creative writing in college?
I did a lot of screenwriting in college. My major at Boston University was film and television, and I took one production class and very quickly discovered that that was not where my strength lied. So instead, I started taking more screenwriting classes. I took writing television, writing short films, and that was where I realized that was what I needed to be focusing on.
So your novel, Wild Ball, is set in a seaside town with the Summer Baseball League, but it's not an idyllic summer story. Your book deals with some difficult themes, bullying, abuse, death. So where did this idea for the book come from?
Well, for my last semester of Boston University, I went out to Los Angeles. They have, it's not technically a semester abroad because you're in the country, but because I had the film degree, I wanted to spend some time there and do some internships, see what it was like. And when I went out there, I discovered this toxic culture, you know, that we've heard a lot about now over the last year or so. And coming back from that, when I moved back to the Cape after I graduated, I really needed to find a way to write about that experience. So instead of writing a story about, you know, an intern going out to Hollywood, I thought, well, maybe this could be a more interesting novel if it's about a coach and an athlete. So that's sort of, that was the start of it. That was the catalyst.
So Shane is the protagonist, and he's a complicated character. When he's with Noah, a youngster who's lost his parents and living with his grandmother, Shane's a role model. When he's confronting his own issues, he makes some questionable choices. So talk about developing the character of Shane.
I think something I've heard a lot of writers say about this is to not judge your characters. And that was something that I really had to remind myself of, because as you just brought up, Shane does not always deal with his struggles in the best way. He has anger issues. He's dishonest at times. But the thing is, if that is where the character or where the story is leading you, then you have to honor that. And as far as developing him, I had to remind myself that even though there might be some readers that question those decisions, or even if I lose some readers because of some of the more negative things he does in the book, that I have to, if that's his journey, I have to allow him to do that.
And is there also a learning experience in that journey?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, there's a good amount of me in him. I don't think anyone's surprised when I say that, you know, or people that know me that read the book will report that back to me. So, of course, it's sort of an exercise in studying yourself and trying to learn from these past mistakes you've made.
You made an interesting comment. We say, don't judge your characters. And that's probably really important because you want to bring out all these and you want to be relatable to your readers. And there will be some readers who will really relate to Shane and his struggles. And others will say, well, what is he thinking? And it's very easy to kind of, you know, be that, what do they call it, Monday morning quarterback, where you go, well, you should have, could have. But when you're in the moment, it's a different thing. So what I'm getting what you're saying is you're letting Shane be in the moment and live what somebody might do in that moment.
I hope so. Yeah, that was at least the intent, I think. And that's a hard line with fiction, because sometimes you want to give your characters moments you didn't have, like you want to give them some sort of catharsis or
that reflection that you didn't have.
Right. But then at the same time, sometimes you write those scenes and it's like, no, nobody has that clarity in the moment, or nobody has the ability to do that. So it's hard.
Hard. All right, so you include several dream sequences in the book. And this is an interesting technique because it asks the reader to consider how past and current events are impacting the psyche of the character. So talk about writing those dream sequences and their placement in the narrative.
I will say that my editor, Kate Barnett, she played a big role in encouraging me to keep those. I was a little afraid that they were almost going too internal and that people might be a little weirded out. So I really want to just say thank you to her for including those, because a lot of readers have actually said that they really enjoy those scenes. And as far as developing them, I have very odd and peculiar dreams, so they're always something to reflect on as I start the day. It's not every night that I have them, but I think I wanted to tap into that a little bit. A character that is so much is going on in his subconscious, there's so much he's not dealing with, that inevitably that's going to pop up in your dreams. And so when I started writing those scenes, I just kind of allowed myself to follow a thread and to not have to feel like I had to explain every little image or symbol that was in the dream, because so much of our dreams we're never going to really understand.
Yeah. I don't know if Stephen King dreams these dreams, but boy, here's somebody who's making a living off of some odd dreams, right?
Definitely.
So have you read anything that made you think differently about fiction or how you approach a narrative?
I would say Ordinary People by Judith Guest. When I was in college, we studied the film in our screenwriting class, and then instantly I went and read her book, read it in a day or two maybe.
Yeah.
I think that story gave me permission to, how we were just talking about going internal. That book just went so deep inside the characters and was still riveting. And so that book was big for me. And then sort of on the opposite end, East of Eden by John Steinbeck. It's so sprawling, 600 pages. It follows this family, a couple families for a few generations. That was another book that I read that when I was in Falmouth High, age 15, and I've gone back to it at least 3 or 4 times.
Talk about the editing process for the book. How was it edited, and were there scenes that were edited out that still stick with you?
It's funny you mentioned that. I was thinking about that on the ride down here. There are still certain scenes that I think are in the book that are not in the final form, just because there was so much. There were so many drafts of this thing. I think I did 5 drafts before Kate, my editor, came on board. And then there were at least 3 more after that. There are certain scenes that, even though it's tough to say goodbye to them, you know, there used to be more baseball scenes, but with the baseball scenes, it's hard because if there isn't some sort of real strong character moment in them or something that ties into the narrative, then it's going to slow the book down.
Yeah, why are they there? Yeah.
Right. And it just has to be essential. And then as far as the two halves of editing, you know, going it alone versus working with Kate, it was such a huge difference just to bring someone that you trust into the picture. And she just totally was able to see what needed to go and see what needed to be strengthened.
Yeah. So everybody should have an editor, I think.
Yes, yes.
That, just that extra set of eyes and, you know, that that are able to step back a little maybe when you're not.
You yeah, know? You're just so in the thick of it that you lose that right. that ability to discern.
You are a writing tutor. Did going through the editing process change how you teach writings to others?
I almost think it's vice versa. I feel like working with kids informs me as a writer. When you have to express to someone else the foundational parts of a craft or what are the basic things we're trying to accomplish here, you have to just stick to those bare bones of what you're trying to do. And working with kids makes you hone in like that. And then because of that, when you go back to your own work, it almost makes you wear those same lenses of, okay, well, what are you really trying to accomplish here? And you've got to just stick right to that and don't get lost. So it's even though it's volunteer work, it's selfish in a sense because, you know, I think it makes me a better writer.
You know. Yeah. So getting published is not an easy feat. What advice do you have for new writers about getting published?
I would say don't be afraid to embrace the business side of yourself. I think that was the ultimate thing I really had to learn in all of this, is that anybody who wants to be a writer, a musician, anything in the arts, I don't think you get the luxury of just being creative, you know? You have to accept that this is also a business and you have to learn those skills. You have to start being comfortable marketing your work, talking about yourself, bringing on people that you trust. And I think when I was a kid, I was so quick to call people sellouts, you know? I was so quick to just be like, oh, well, you know, they don't care anymore. They're just in it for money. But now, in my later 20s, I realized that it's such an essential part of doing this, is that you have to learn that side of it and you have to embrace it.
So you grew up on Cape Cod, left for a little bit, then returned. Not the typical trajectory for young people. Some of them leave and don't come back. So what drew you back to the Cape, and do you see yourself remaining here now for a while?
I think what drew me back is I've always felt comfortable creating here. And I think that to do a project like this where I had to be pretty open and pretty vulnerable, I needed the setting I was in to just be somewhere where I felt safe. Also, the ocean and just the environment here is so restorative and inspiring. So. Yeah. That was a big part of, after LA, I definitely felt discouraged and I needed to come home. Yeah. I needed to recharge.
And this, of course, is a region, this whole region is a mecca for artists of all types. So have you found a community of writers here helps you nurture your creativity? You're talking about the ocean and this environment, but is it other writers and other artists around that sort of feed that?
I do have my writers group, which we talked about a little last time. So they're my two most trusted allies, really. Bronwyn Prosser Poloni and Amy Wilson Sanger. They've been so great, and they have both shaped this book by being in my life and giving me notes. And so really that's our sort of writers group triangle. We've never come up with a name for the group, but if it hadn't been for that community, even though it's a small one, I don't think the book would be what it is.
In addition to being a writer, you mentioned you're a musician. So how is the creative process for writing music and writing fiction? Are they similar? It seems like they'd be...
That's a good question. What's interesting with music is that you never know the way you're going to sort of enter a song. Sometimes it's a melody, sometimes it's a drum beat, sometimes you're just messing around on your guitar and you kind of have this happy accident. Whoa, okay, no one's ever made that noise before. So I think that's the thing about music is there's always sort of this surprise way that you arrive and then you can sort of run with something. And then with fiction, I think it's always so, at least for me, instantly things get very sort of interconnected. I start thinking about themes. I start thinking about images. It's just such a it's such a big picture.
Different process for you.
Yeah. And I mean, the two are so intertwined. You know, music plays a big part. Mm-hmm. In my writing, but creatively, I think they are sort of different for me. Yeah.
Have you considered a book where music plays a more central theme?
Yes, I went on tour with my friends there in a band called Milk up in Boston. I did that last year for about 3 weeks, and that was quite the adventure. And sometimes I do think that there will be a story to tell there.
So have you started a next book? Have you thought about it? I mean, are you working on anything?
Yes. I know what the next book is. It's going to continue Shane's journey, but he'll be back in Oregon on the West Coast, back at his college a few months after where Wild Ball leaves off. And one of the things I sort of got in, not trouble with Wild Ball, but just having it be set over the course of a few months, I think I felt the need to write so much of that summer. Mm-hmm. So I've decided for the next book that it's just going to have the time constraints of one weekend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, which I really need restrictions like that sometimes. And I think it's fun to give yourself restrictions.
Oh, looking forward to that. Brian Engel's debut novel is Wild Ball. We'll have links with more information about the book at capeandislands.org. Brian, thanks so much for coming in and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today.
I'm Indy Todd. Thanks for listening.